Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia all in and getting you prepared for Saturday night in Buffalo. The Bills hosting the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs and getting the latest from One Bills Drive. It's Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on.
Ryan, let's start with the news of today. Devontae Freeman signed to the practice squad. Your thoughts on Freeman, and is this going to be something that the practice squad is just going to become a collection of all-stars who's out there with these new rules here in the 2020 season?
Yeah, well, it's definitely an intriguing signing, especially after what we saw with the Green Bay Packers signing, the tackle that was on the Colts roster, or practice squad, I should say, last week. So it's just kind of, a strategy the teams can use this offseason. I'm not sure what to expect, though, from Freeman. You know, I followed him a little bit this year when he was with the Giants. He had some pretty decent weeks with them, but then he suffered some injuries and just was released by the team recently. So I don't think he's a guy you're going to see this week by any means. I think they're going to make that decision between T.J. Yeldon and Antonio Williams. But it's smart to get another guy in here that can learn the system in case the Bills do advance after Saturday. And then maybe you're talking championship game, and maybe you need another body even, you know, if I dare say it, in the Super Bowl if it comes to that. So there's nothing wrong with doing your due diligence. And when it comes to running backs, he was probably one of the better names out there.
Yeah, Ryan, I look at it as an insurance policy, and you've got him and you've got Stills on the practice squad, which is something I don't think anybody would have considered at the beginning of the season, that you would have two players of that caliber just sitting there comfortably on the practice squad. When you talk about Yeldon and you talk about Williams, do you think one gets favor over the other? Do you think they're both active Saturday night?
Oh, great question. If they are going to favor one, I think it's going to be Yeldon. For a few reasons. One, Sean McDermott, they're very loyal to their veterans. They've said all the right things about Yeldon in his 2 years here. He obviously knows more of the system, probably can be more trusted from a pass blocking perspective too, but maybe the biggest thing is the fact that he's such a good pass catcher, and you're going to be going against a Ravens defense that blitzes early and often, and that's an area where you can hurt them. Those quick passes, get them out to the backs. Get it to a guy like Yeldon, who has done damage in his career as a receiver, where, you know, Williams was extremely impressive in week 17 against the Dolphins defense, but it's such a small sample size, and, you know, you really don't have that extended film on him in terms of what he can and cannot do from a blocking perspective.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, the Bills and the Ravens coming up Saturday night, 8:15. Ryan, we go back to last year. that matchup in the Bills' offense has certainly evolved since that point, but are there any lessons in that loss last December from Buffalo that they can take into this game when they're preparing?
Yeah, I'm not sure about lessons, but, man, it's a completely different ballgame from 1 year ago, because just like, you know, we were saying, Baltimore loves to blitz. They blitzed Josh Allen early and often last year, and that's putting it kindly. It felt like every single play they were blitzing at him. He was sacked 6 times in that game. He took 12 quarterback hits, and he looked frazzled. He looked like a deer in a headlight. Fast forward 1 year, and Allen's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league in terms of when teams pressure or blitz. Now, obviously, Buffalo's offensive line has to hold up. They have to have someone back to pick up those blitzers, but Allen has evolved his game significantly. So I don't think that game plan of just trying to heat every single play will necessarily work for Baltimore this year. It's going to be a really interesting chess match on both sides, because whereas I think the Bills played the Ravens really well last year, some of the players that played the best in that game, they're not going to be on the field on Saturday. Star Lotulelei isn't going to be there to take on those blockers and fill in the gaps. Lorenzo Alexander obviously retired at the end of the year. Shaq Lawson went on to Miami. So some of those players that really stood out on the film or on the tape last year just won't be there for Buffalo. So some other guys are really going to have to step up, and that's so much easier said than done against this unique Ravens offense.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned the names that aren't here from last year's meeting against the Ravens. Trent Murphy is somebody that's still here. He had himself a nice game against Baltimore as well. I can't shake the image of Matt Milano getting posterized by Lamar Jackson last year. I mean, Matt, what exactly do you think the Bills' defense employs to try and slow down that Ravens run game?
You know, maybe I think you have to stack the box and dare them to become passers, which even when you stack the box, they're not going to just go away from running. They're going to do it no matter what. I mean, it looks up from what they do in terms of inside versus outside running. But maybe you play a little bit more, bring up some of your guys from the secondary a little bit, too, to see what you can do there, because you need speed on the field. You can't just go to a traditional 4-3 necessarily to stop this type of run game. It's not a power, you know, running game like you see with Tennessee and these other units. They do have an impressive backfield with J.K. Dobbins, with Gus Edwards, but the guy that you really have to key in and stop, obviously, is Lamar Jackson, and the Bills did such a good job of that last year. You mentioned Trent Murphy. Maybe he is a guy that you activate. They said, you know, we told him any week he could come up. But then the difficult decision there is, do you make AJ Epenesa inactive or Daryl Johnson? It's those are the tough calls that these coaches have to make in this game. I was comparing the Ravens offense kind of like the Navy midshipmen in college football. It's this team that they're so hard to prepare for, because week in and week out, you know, you might play a really good run team in week 8 and then be like, okay, we can kind of use that same game plan in week 13. Well, this Ravens offense is completely different than just about every other offense in the league, so it makes them such a tough challenge.
Yeah, one thing that the Bills had trouble with in the game against the Colts, we're talking about Ryan Talbot, by the way, NewYorkUpstate.com. One thing from that Colts game, Jack Doyle had a big game for the Colts at tight end, and statistically, Mark Andrews of the Ravens is better. How do the Bills go about slowing down the tight end, who really is the number one target of the quarterback, Lamar Jackson?
You almost have to jam up the middle of the field. You have to kind of take away those passing lanes, and that's where maybe a Tremaine Edmonds can obviously be a good fit because of his wingspan, because of his size. But, you know, make it so that way he has to throw to the boundaries, and that's maybe not his strength. You're right, the tight ends are a big issue, because those are Lamar Jackson's favorite weapons when he does throw the ball. He does have a talented young receiver in Hollywood Brown, but in more times than not, it's Andrews and it's those tight ends that he's looking for. So they have to really, you know, stay disciplined. They can't have any lapses. Last year there was a blown coverage play with Jordan Poyer. You mentioned there was the poster high, or the ankles being broken, so to speak, with Milano against Lamar. So little things like that, it can't happen. And although the Bills' defense has improved over the course of the season, there's still a little bit too much of a bend, not break, giving up a lot of yards. You know, we saw it last week against the Colts, and that's a little worrisome, because when you get down near the goal line with this Ravens offense, they can hurt you in a lot of different ways.
Well, Ryan, you mentioned the bend, but don't break mentality of this defense, and you give up over 450 yards to Phillip Rivers with zero turnovers. That's a little bit concerning. You get the win because Josh Allen was the best player on the field on Saturday. You know, what can the Bills defense do to force some of these turnovers, to force some mistakes? We haven't seen a lot of them out of their run game, but yes, if you watch Lamar Jackson, especially with those deep balls, he can get wildly inaccurate from time to time.
Yeah, that's just it. You have to make it third and long situations. So you have to stop the run and be extremely disciplined on first and second down. And I know that there's still a team that will run on third and long as well, but if you can give them enough of those third and long situations where he has to pass, that's when you're right. He can be wildly inaccurate at times. He can throw the ball behind his guys. He can throw it high, which leads to those deflected passes that can be intercepted. So I think turnovers will come if you can obviously get them in those third and long situations. And obviously the other scenario is if Buffalo's offense comes out and they put up points early and they build a little bit of a cushion in the lead. We did see the Ravens for the first time under Lamar Jackson come back from 10 points or more in last week's game against Tennessee. But, you know, there's a history there where up until that point he had not been able to do so. And there's some questionable decisions and some turnovers that can be had. So it's also really important for Buffalo's offense to do the same thing that they've been doing all year.
Ryan, we saw the Bills come out rather conservative against the Colts, and I'm kind of subscribing to the theory, and I don't know if you were on the same page here with me, but maybe that's just Brian Daboll hates the playoffs. Let's just kind of, you know, calm down here a little bit. The run didn't work early on. So can we expect something different at the beginning of this game? Because, like you said, if you get a quick start on this team, yeah, the Ravens, they got back from double digits last week against the Titans. I'd like to see them try it again.
Yeah, you know, Devin Singletary ran the ball extremely well in last year's matchup against the Ravens, but I don't see the Bills coming out with a run-heavy offense this year. You have to come out with what brought you to the dance, and it's this passing offense. And the Ravens, to their credit, they have a lot of talent in that secondary. But if the Bills go four wide, if they utilize Isaiah McKenzie more than they did this past week, which I thought was also pretty interesting, he was only on the field for two offensive snaps after that Week 17 performance. You know, get your guys out there that can create those mismatches. Get Isaiah McKenzie in motion pre-snap to help you in terms of knowing what you're going to see on that play. Get the quick passes out and let your wide receivers run after the catch. And then obviously get the ball to your back as well. You know, that's the one area where I think Devin Singletary, not so much as a runner this year, but I think having him in open space as a receiver, he could do some damage this year against this Ravens defense as well.
It's the Bills and the Ravens, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. We'll have the kickoff for you here on ESPN Rochester, spending some time with Ryan Talbot of NewYorkUpstate.com to talk about that matchup. And Ryan, you know, I think we would all have rather seen Pittsburgh come to Buffalo on Saturday night rather than Baltimore, given what we know about the Steelers and the Bills' first matchup with them earlier this season. The players aren't allowed to look ahead. We're allowed to look ahead. I mean, which of the two other remaining AFC teams match up better for the Buffalo Bills should they beat Baltimore on Saturday night?
Boy, you know, that's a tough question because I think you still have to go with the Browns would match up better. But you can make a valid argument for the Chiefs in terms of the fact that the Bills did take away the big plays earlier in the year from Mahomes, and they were daring the Chiefs to run. The problem was they ran all over the Bills with success. I think the Bills have gotten a little bit better there. But even though the Browns have a dynamic 1-2 punch at running back, and Buffalo's run defense has been the issue, I still think going against the Browns by far would be the better matchup of the two. You can move the ball on that defense. You can put up points on that defense. I know that Roethlisberger threw a lot of interceptions, but some of those were where he was trying to do too much. He was throwing high. He was off the mark. I think that Josh Allen could obviously put up a lot of points in that situation if somehow, the Bills advance, and two, the Browns could pull off quite the upset later this weekend. I'm not anticipating that, but if the Browns can do it, yeah, I like that matchup for Buffalo a little bit more than I do that matchup against the Chiefs.
Ryan, if this is the end of the road for the Buffalo Bills Saturday night, and at this point, yeah, any of these games could be the end of the road, you got a game further than you did last year. But knowing the window is open and the possibility of going the whole way, how do you balance that out? Would this be a successful season overall, knowing that the Bills did get a step further than they did last year? However, there is the opportunity to win the whole thing here.
Yeah, that's a great question. I still think, you know, after you sit back and reflect on it, you would have to go back and say this was a successful year. They won 13 games against a schedule that people preseason were saying was significantly tougher than what they did the year before or the opposition they would face. They won the division for the first time in 25 years. They hosted and won a playoff game for the first time in 25 years. So you'd have to say it was a success. That said, I know that as the season has gone on, expectations have gone up as well. And, you know, at one point it was championship game or bust, and falling a game short of that, I think some fans would look and say, well, they didn't quite get where we wanted to see them get this year. At the same time, this Ravens team, besides the Bills, is the hottest team in the NFL. So the two hottest teams in the NFL are playing on Saturday night, and obviously something has to give there.
Ryan, real quick, your opinion on Brian Daboll. Is he as good as gone? And if he does eventually end up as a head coach in the NFL, obviously well-deserved, but what do you think the Bills do in terms of his replacement in 2021?
I'm not going to say he's as good as gone. He should be, but NFL teams do crazy, maybe borderline stupid things all the time. You know, I don't get the fascination with Urban Meyer. For example, with Jacksonville, I get how good of a coach he was at the college level, but the pros is a whole other matter. He had health issues at the college level. How long can you, you know, trust a guy like that? So you're seeing all these college names get thrown out there as drawing interest. You're seeing some other coordinators that you think are going to land in certain jobs. There's only so many spots in terms of musical chairs, and if those best jobs are gone, which in my opinion are the Chargers, which in my opinion would be Jacksonville, those and Houston, even though there's some, you know, mismanagement, some question marks about that front office. So I do put them down an entire tier for those first two options that I mentioned. If those are gone, and you're talking about teams like the Jets, which Brian Daboll did interview with, and the Lions and stuff like that, well, maybe then he does stay and he says, there's a lot of uncertainty with those positions where, you know, if I could have had a Justin Herbert or a Trevor Lawrence with me in those other jobs, it would make a ton of sense. So I'm not willing to say it's a slam dunk that he's gone, but he should be based on the job that he has done here and the fact that he is ready for it. If he goes, you know, I'm not willing to say you just turn the keys over to someone within the organization, to a Chad Hall or to a Ken Dorsey, two guys that I think could get interviews for that position, could be ready for it. For the first time in two decades plus, that would be a job that a lot of good up-and-coming smart minds would want. They would want to coach Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in this unit because they know that this would be a great stepping stone for them and an opportunity for them to get a head coaching job. So I'm not ready to peg one person yet as the favorite to take over because for the first time in forever, there's going to be some really good names that are going to be calling the Bills and saying, hey, you know, or their agents, hey, this guy wants to talk to you guys. He wants a chance because he thinks that he can pick up where Brian Daboll left off.
Why aren't more teams calling on Leslie Frazier? It's just the simple fact that, hey, he's coaching the wrong side of the ball, that most GMs are looking for the offensive head coach?
That's part of it. And I think, you know, a little bit of Buffalo struggles this year played into it as well. But yeah, at the end of the day, teams are looking for those offensive minds more than anything else. It's a shame, though, because they probably also look at his first stint, his record. He would be a great head coach wherever he goes. I was happy to see him draw some interest and get an interview, but he should be on more teams' list than he currently is because he is a great coach and a great leader.
Ryan, what are you and Matt and everybody at NewYorkUpstate.com working on this week as we advance and prepare for the Ravens on Saturday night?
Matt and I will have plenty of stories up all week this week on that matchup against the Ravens. We have a great pod tomorrow. We have Kim Jones of the NFL Network joining us as our guest. We're trying to get a few other people in there, but we're going to be getting all the Bills Mafia ready for that matchup throughout the week. So, you know, make sure you're checking out NewYorkUpstate.com and Syracuse.com.
What, no Dana White this week? Come on, man. You've got to have a commissioner every week on the show there at the pod.
I'm telling you, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Ryan, you're the best. Be well, and hopefully we get to do this again pretty soon here.
Hey, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
There he is. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Doing great work with Matt Parrino covering the Buffalo Bills. Check them out. Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com for your latest Bills news.
Oh, thank goodness we have the Sabres starting up because it's only Tuesday. I'm ready for this game right now.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's, I know. Yeah, we're ready for the next
week
round.
Goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these are the stages that you go through day by day. It's every day is a different emotion. And by the time Saturday hits, we're going to be crazy.
Okay, so your team went to a Super Bowl more recent than the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
What is it like waiting the whole 2 weeks? You got to wait a bye week? What do you do with the bye week?
Well, I went on vacation. That's why I didn't want to think about anything. So I, you know, my Super Bowl journey to watch the Bears lose to the Colts in Miami is an interesting story. I'm not going to share it right now, but it led to me taking the week prior to the game and making it a vacation and just, you know, working my vacation around going to the game. Weird story. I don't know. I'll share it when we have some time.
All right.
Well, let's advance to the Super Bowl. If the Bills get to the Super Bowl, I'll share my, you know, I don't want to say it was, you know, a little bit dicey how I happened to find myself at the Super Bowl with the Bears and the Colts.
Okay. Yeah, did we break any laws?
Or I don't think I broke any laws. No, I don't think any laws were broken, but I mean, maybe some policies were violated. I don't know. We'll see. I'll share that story someday. Let's get to NFL appetizers next, Gino.
NFL appetizers in the sports bar. As yes, coaching news. We've got it for you. Could the Jets be zeroing in on somebody? What is going on in Philadelphia? Did they have a plan? Well, we'll tell you who they're talking to. The latest here in Dallas, in Houston, and other places. A lot to get to in appetizers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.